Our text this evening is taken from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, this wonderful text, much loved and so helpful. It's one of those verses in the Bible which is the gospel in miniature, all that we need to know about conversion to Christ is found in this one sentence. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My title tonight is All Things New. If you are a salesman, if you want to sell something in a shop, if you want to sell a house, a car, whatever it happens to be, they say there is one word that sells something almost more than anything else. New. New, new, new. Brand new, just released, never been seen before. First to market. New. Well, nowadays people love things which are new. They like something that's instant, never been seen before, fresh, and they dismiss the opposite. The Bible often speaks about old things as being so much better than the new. Yet people say, I don't want the old. I don't want that, I want something new. Well, Jeremiah in chapter 6 and verse 16 says this, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls, the old way. But they said, the people responded to the prophet, the old ways, the old paths, we don't want that. We will not walk in it. They wanted something new, something exciting, something different. Well, in this verse tonight, we have something gloriously old and something wonderfully, eternally new. We come to this verse. This verse is about you. It's there. If any person, any person, that's all of us here tonight, no one is excluded. If any person, do you know so many things today? They divide, don't they? There are the haves and the have-nots. There are those who are included and those who are excluded. But here it says at the beginning, if any person. This is for everyone. This is for all. It's a verse about Christ. If any man be in Christ. That is what this is all about. Being in Christ. It's a verse about the tremendous difference that conversion, that's what we call it, conversion. A change from something to something else. A change so radical, as we shall see. He makes such a difference to our lives. Well, we have that expression, out with the old, in with the new. And that's true of this verse. This verse speaks about the old things, and it speaks about new things. The old things are done away with, and the new things come. Well, let me try to explain the words of this verse very simply. The first thing we notice here is a radical, a comprehensive change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The word creature means creation. It's a wonderful translation. It means a fresh unused formation, something which is original, the only painting that the artist has ever made, signed by the artist, a new creation, never to be repeated, a unique experience, a unique change within that person's life. It's so radical. Now, I think there are certain animals, perhaps for the children, there are certain animals that can make great changes. I looked up yesterday and saw an extraordinary video of a pufferfish. You can see the otter or some other predator go into the river, and the pufferfish can blow up its mouth so that it becomes like a beach ball. And the otter can't get the pufferfish into its mouth. It just pushes it round the water. And whenever the predator, an otter, comes, the pufferfish sees it, breathes in the air, and out go the gills or whatever it is, and this enormous beach ball appears in the water. It's extraordinary. Have a look sometime when you've got nothing else to do. A pufferfish is still a pufferfish, even when it's blown itself up. I'm not aware, maybe there is some other creature, but whenever we think of this change, we think of the caterpillar turning into a butterfly, something that looks different, something that you describe in a different way. It has different features. It no longer crawls, it flies. It doesn't have legs, it has wings. That's the kind of change. It's radical. Completely different. It's not like putting lipstick on. It's not like putting a new jacket on. It's not like a new set of clothes. It's not turning over a new leaf. This change is 100%. You are completely different when this change has come into your life. If any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. You were one thing. You become something completely different. Another verse from Jeremiah, chapter 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian, we know people that lived in Ethiopia had dark skin. Can somebody with one color skin voluntarily decide that they're going to completely transform? I know nowadays there's skin lightening technologies and all those things, but really, if you have one skin color and pigment, that's largely speaking what you are. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change its spots? Impossible. They say today that you can change your gender. That's not what I see. The Lord says, he made man and he made woman. God, who made the world and who made all of creation, is the only one who can make the second creation. God made us first time. If we're to be made a second time, only he can do it. So Paul is teaching here. He's speaking to the church at Corinth, the church that lived in a pagan culture, a church that knew about idolatry. And he calls them to see there is not some small incremental change that we can do to ourselves to gradually ink out the spots and lighten the skin. No, this change is radical. It's comprehensive. It's not like putting a new label above the door, changing your door number or your mobile phone number or your picture on your WhatsApp. This is about everything. Everything important, significant, is going to change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's radical, it's comprehensive. Secondly, this change is permanent and it's irreversible. When this change happens, it's not like a January diet. By the time you get to the third week, it's gone. It's not like a gym membership that fades and lapses. Not like something you sign up for and you try your hardest to keep up the appearance, keep going to church, keep reading your Bible. This is radical and permanent and irreversible. No going back to a caterpillar. Once you're a butterfly, that's the way you stay. It starts at conversion. For some, that's a process that takes a year, maybe longer. For some, it happens in one day. It's so quick. You see the person the day before, they look gloomy and sad. They've got a burden upon their shoulders. Their face is so miserable. Everything is negative. They see things and it's negative, negative, negative. You see them the next day. Their face is lightened. The burden's gone. The way they speak is so different. The change, the burden's gone. The load has been taken off them. And it's irreversible. I knew somebody once, when she was a teenager, she had such a sour face. I won't mention the name, you might guess who it was. She had such a sour face. She walked around and it looked gloom, gloom, gloom. I saw her within a week and her face was totally transformed. She was a different person and she never went back. No, it's a radical change and it's a permanent change. It says here, the old things are passed away. The things of your old life. Your appearance, perhaps. Not necessarily. Your tastes. Your sins, definitely. The things you loved. Maybe the friends that you used to sit with, stand with, walk with, go with. The company that you used to keep. You can't do that anymore. You can't go to those places. You don't have a taste for them. You can't go to the places they go to. You don't want to be inebriated and be drunk. Oh no. You're totally changed. Permanently. Irreversibly. And that change, once it's happened, it starts. You're not made perfect overnight, but there is a change of appetite. No longer do you have the taste that you once had. Paul says in one of his letters, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he, that's Christ, which has begun a good work in you, will perform it. You're converted. Now you're under new management. There's a change. You're going one direction, you go in another direction. The direction you're heading in now is to Christ. It's to heaven, it's to eternity. And that transformation, that change to make you more and more and more like Christ will go on and on and on. You don't become a perfect person. No. No one ever did. No one ever will. Sin and the old nature still stay in our lives, but until the day of Jesus Christ, when he comes again, that day everyone who is in Christ will be glorified and perfected, and all of the old life and the old sins and all of those habits will be gone at the point of conversion. Many of them are gone. Many of them are changed, but we still have that lingering. The old things are passed away, and all things are become new. But there's a word there I want you to note. Behold. Behold. This word in the Bible is used 1527 times. This is a biblical word. It's not used in many of the modern translations. It means, take note, something very significant is going to follow. Sometimes it's worthy of an exclamation mark, John the Baptist said. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Look, here is the Saviour, the one promised from Genesis 3:15. He's here. Here is the one that takes away sin, that changes lives. Behold. And Paul uses that word here, behold. It's so different, so radical. And the word has another meaning, look. Look and see. Look for the changes. Behold, the evidence is there. You see, there's a changed life. The person will never be the same again. There'll be joy, there'll be peace. There'll be an understanding that God is now their God. There is a new master, a teacher. There is a friend, a guide, a shepherd. Somebody to lead them safely to heaven. All things are new. Behold. Well, what sort of things will change in the life after the conversion comes across us? Beforehand, I was mostly interested in physical things, material things. When this change happens, when I'm a new creature, I don't think so much of material things. I focus on spiritual things, things I can't see. I think about God. I think about eternity. I think about the love that He has for me. I think about the fact that He died on Calvary. I can't see it. I don't want to imagine His face. But I think of His blood shed at Calvary for me. I think about the perfect life that He lived. I can't see it. But what was material that interested me, now I think of spiritual things. The debt of love I owe to Him and all that He's done for me. I think of that day of judgment and I think, when I stand before Him, condemned, He looks at His Son instead of me. And I can't understand it. How could He look at His Son instead of me? But then I think of things no longer of time. I'm not so interested in time. I don't think of today. I'm not smitten by the moment. I don't live in the moment. I live for eternity. My great treasure, my great interest is in heaven. My great interest is in eternity. That's where I'm investing. That's where my treasure is. Life will pass away. But when it comes to the great accounting day, all my treasure will be in heaven. I won't have left anything worthwhile behind. I'll have everything. My soul, my Savior, they'll all be with me. And everything I've left behind will be dross in comparison. Before I was converted, before this change happened, Christ meant nothing to me. He was just a good person. Maybe He wasn't even that. He was just a historical figure. There was more evidence for Him than there was for Julius Caesar. But He was just history. He was RE. He was divinity. But now, I see that all the power that I have in my life to overcome sin, all the authority I have in life over Satan, the guide that I have in life and the shepherd that leads me, is because it's Christ. Christ is the one that means everything to me now. Once He meant nothing. Now He's everything. Once I hated Him, I was an enemy in my mind. And now he's my friend because he's drawn near to me. And as it says in the verse following, he has reconciled. I was a distance. I was an enemy. I was far from God. And he has come near because he did everything. He's come to me. He has taken my sin. He has become sin. He's become the punishment for the sins that I did. He bore it. He took it. He has borne that sin upon his own shoulders, as it were, instead of me. And now Christ means everything. Everything. Can you say that? Is there someone here tonight? You have some respect for the Word of God. You have some respect for the morality it teaches. You know the good way. You know the right way. But can you say in your heart, Christ means everything to me. Take everything else away. Take away my wife, if it must. Take away my family, if it happens in tragedy. But don't take my Saviour, because he is everything to me. That's what the Christian can say. That's the change that this brings. Can you say that? If you can say that in your heart, truly, you are the Lord's. You have peace with God. He is everything to you. If any man be in Christ, before conversion, you used to value so many things. You valued your reputation, what people thought of you. Oh, he's a good person. He drives such a car. He's got a good job. He's got many friends. She's got many friends. Now those things don't mean anything to you. What matters to you is, what does Christ think of me? Does he see me as a soul that he's died for? Does he see me as a choice person? Does he see me as a lamb that he's rescued? Does he see me as a soul that he's saved and he's given his precious blood? And now you are of infinite value to him. Before conversion, sin didn't really mean too much to you. You didn't think it was that important. You knew you did it, perhaps. You knew you broke God's standards, but you didn't think of the penalty. You didn't think of the consequences. You didn't think that if a man sins, he must surely die, and the wages of sin are death. And God says he has to eternally send you away from him forever to hell. Forever. In a place of torment where Lazarus is pictured dipping his finger in the water to get some relief. Sin didn't mean anything to you. But it does now. If you've been converted to Christ, you hate your sin. You don't want to sin. Sin hurts you. It hurts your Saviour. You know that every time you sin, you add more punishment, as it were, to Christ, who's outside of time and takes the punishment for every sin, for every one of his people, when he died upon the cross. Before you were converted, You used to like sweet things that turned out to be bitter. But once you've been converted, now the bitter things, the painful things, they turn out to be sweet. The total opposite. It's a paradox. What was sweet becomes bitter. You go to the fair and you take the candy floss of life. Sweet, sweet, sweet. And it rots your teeth. And it gives you pain. And the dentist has to remove them. and you end up with no teeth in your mouth. Oh, I'm exaggerating. But when you're converted, you have pains in your life because Christ doesn't promise a pain-free life. You have bitterness, you have difficulty, and they make you depend upon your Savior. The bitter becomes sweet. And then there's our hearts. Our hearts, you didn't think about them much before. You didn't mind if your heart was polluted. You didn't mind if your heart was away from God. But when you're changed and come to Christ, your soul is important. Your soul is everything. It's what God has given you. It's the image of Himself. And He desires that you keep your heart, keep your soul with all carefulness, because out of your heart and soul are the issues of life. Well, this change, how does it happen? There's another tiny word. It's the second word. Therefore, if you're not in Christ tonight, and only you know that, if you're not in Christ, you are not a new creation. You're with your sin. You're the way you've always been. You're still a caterpillar, crawling around on one level. You've not flown to heights. You've not seen the beauty that God sees. You've not seen yourself. If any man be in Christ, this is what it all pivots on. If, how can I be in Christ? This is about a new identity. Once you used to describe yourself in a certain way, you have 140 characters on Twitter. I love cars. I do cooking. I like my family. You know the sort of things that people say. But when you're in Christ, I am a Christian, saved by grace. I've not done anything good in my life. Christ has done everything for me. He saved me. I was a wretch. And He brought me to Himself. I'm a Christian. I'm a new creature. This is my identity. Forget my name. There are so many people in the Bible, we don't know their names. And yet we know they'll be in heaven. That little maid in Israel that told Naaman how he could be healed. The thief on the cross, we don't know his name, but he'll be in paradise today. What's your identity? Is your identity in Christ? In His protection? In His love? In His forgiveness? There's a story of Augustine. When he was a teenager in the 4th and 5th centuries, he led a very wild life. He was very promiscuous. He came to Christ. His life was totally changed. And he saw a lady from before he was converted. And she said to him, "It's I, don't you remember me?" And Augustine said to her, "It's no longer I. It's Christ that lives within me." You're talking to a different person. It's no longer him. I'm changed. My identity changes. My future changes. I was going this way, away from God. Now I'm going to God, and He's making me more like His Son. I now think of Calvary. I used to think of earth. Now I think of the day of judgment, where I'll stand before Him forgiven, in His righteousness, clothed. I have a different future, a different identity. But finally, I have a different position. Now I'm in God's plan. I'm in God's love. I'm in a different place. I used to be over there, now I'm over here. I'm in the arms of Christ. because he loves me. I was far from him. Now I've been brought near. I'm in a different position. Once I hated God. Now I'm with him and I love him. It makes all the difference in the world. Let me finish with this illustration. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There was a man who owned a house. His house had been taken over by drug addicts. The windows had been smashed out. The house was vile. It was full of horrible things. Things that I don't even need to describe. He managed to evict the squatters. And he put the house on the market. And somebody came and offered to pay the full price that needed to be paid. The owner of the house said, "Come, let me show you round. It's not a particularly attractive house, but don't worry. I'll do the repairs, I'll mend the windows, I'll clean the walls, I'll give it a new coat of paint, I'll make all the improvements." And the man that wanted to buy the house looked at him and said, "Don't worry, I'm not interested in this house. I'm going to knock it down and start again. I'm interested in the place, in the site. I'm going to build something completely new. There won't be the old doors and the old windows and the dirty walls. It will be completely rebuilt." That's what Christ does to us. All things new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ with a new identity, a new future, a new position, the old things, the sin, the tastes, material things, they're all passed away. Behold, I can see it. All things are become new. Is that true of you? Come and tell me if it is. If your identity is in Christ, come and tell me what the Lord has done for your soul. If the old things have got no hold upon you anymore, and you love Christ, and Christ is your identity, he's your future, and he's your position, then you are a new creature, because Christ has worked in your heart, and now you are in Christ. And it will never be reversed. It's irreversible. Once Christ has begun a new work, he will finish it. It starts at conversion. And every day, every year that goes by from then onwards, until the time he calls you to glory, he will make you more and more like himself until that great day. Then he'll take you to heaven as a glorified saint with a new body, and the old things will be fully taken away, and you will be with him forever. Let's pray together. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, forgive the inadequacies of the preacher to describe these things which are so wonderful, so dramatic, so radical, a change that cannot fully be described in words. Lord, help us to know this change. Help us to desire it. Help us to ask for it. Help us to come in repentance and faith, seeking the new life that only comes from above when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are washed with his blood. And we are clothed with his righteousness, so that the old is passed away and all things are new. May it be so this night. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.